Welcome to episode 233 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
There will be plenty of links with extra information available on the show page today, which you can find by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. Very announcer today.
Oh, okay.
Whales.
A lot of bass in your voice. Yeah. That was going to be my segue. Whales.
I've been listening to some of their songs, and they will hit high notes.
Oh, well.
I imagine there's notes in there we can't even hear.
On both sides, huh?
Oh, I both yes, sides? That's what I imagined.
Yeah, they're noisy. Are they all noisy?
Are they all noisy? No. Oh. The ones that do the songs, the big famous whale songs, those are the humpback whales.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's only the males that sing.
Oh.
Both the males and females will make noises at each other, but the males sing these big songs that are like as much as a half hour long.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to think about humpback intelligence. Well, they remember songs that are up to a half hour long.
Wait, they're repeating it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now that, okay, intelligence.
Yeah, I was just watching a thing on it. And it had been assumed that every little group would have their own sort of regional song. It turns out that each little group has a repertoire of songs.
Okay.
That change from year to year. And at least in the South Pacific, the whales being researched, one group would have a hot number one year.
Okay.
And then the next year, another group would be singing that song.
Even catchy. Though
they, yeah. So at the same time they're singing like 10, 20, 30 minute long songs, they're learning new 10, 20, 30 minute long songs from very, very far away other whales.
So more than a slowed down parrot.
Yeah, more than yeah. Well, I don't know. Parrots are pretty smart too. Well, I know what you're saying. I pick a bird that pretty song and doesn't do anything else. That's most of them. Like a canary or a nightingale or whatever.
Ah.
Yeah, a little bit more impressive than birds. We talked about whales a bit on Monday, along with other stuff that I can't recall. I can tell you that the sea cucumber is not a mollusk.
That's right.
I found out. It's a it's other thing. Ichthyoderm or ichthyoderm.
Is it itchy?
I have no idea.
They make me look...
Weird critters like sea cucumber, sand dollar, sea urchin, starfish. Five-fold symmetry. It's weird.
If you cut off a starfish arm...
Symmetry, then you're a jerk. Why would you do that?
I got sort of news. I used to, when I was living in Sela, I used to always have Google Earth open, watching the USGS layer of earthquakeness. And I also used to always have this little Japanese fishing port camera open, just because.
So you were waiting to see the big one coming?
Kinda. Like, I just... It's on the other side of the world, you know, when it was daylight over here.
Wait. So, when you're looking at the earthquakeness.
Oh, okay.
Is that for here?
That's for the globe.
Oh, okay. So that included Japan.
Yes.
Okay.
They do get a decent amount of earthquakes.
Well, yeah, they're kind of known for that sort of thing.
Ring of fire and, yeah. I don't know if it's the ring of fire, but I think the reason
ring of shakes a lot.
The reason it's the ring of fire is also they have a lot of earthquakes in Alaska. Anyways, but since I started paying attention of late to make my life easier for news, the biggest thing we've had is 6.0s, and two of them were northeast of Australia, and then the third one, which was also a 6.0. South of Australia. Australia shakes.
Huh. Yeah.
But
my head, there are vast swaths of geologically inactive chunk of continent in Australia.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like Ayers Rock, right? Mm-hmm. That landscape looks like nothing has happened there for billions. You know, other than that, it rains sometimes.
You were talking about ridges, though, once, like the Mid-Atlantic ridge. That was a big deal. This one south of Australia, It's called the Indian Antarctic Ridge. See, there's another ridge
so
in the
there's
world.
Well, I knew there were other ones somewhere. I just had trouble calling them trenches instead of ridges.
I also paid attention to a thing called Windy TV to see for, you know, watch for hurricanes and stuff. And I had been doing that. And there was this little cyclone that was happening. And I'm like, compared to the globalness, this is nothing. And then it came up on the news. And it's got a name.
Okay, then.
And it's called Dorian. They're like, it might become a hurricane. But I'm like, yeah. It always gets me. Like, this tiny little nothing hits the news because it's going to smack into the U.S.
Mm.
Therefore, it gets the news. And meanwhile, huge monsoons, they're called, in the Pacific, I think.
Oh, do those spin?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, like, a hurricane is a hurricane only because of where it is. If it's on the Pacific, it's called a monsoon. If I'm not nuts,
You're nuts. I think you're typhoon is the
typhoon.
Word.
Typhoon.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You are nuts.
I am nuts. And how?
Whales.
Whales.
Yeah, I just thought I'd say the subject of what we're going to talk about.
Oh.
They're relatively smart, don't you think? Especially, you know, orca being my personal favorite as far as that's a clever critter.
Right.
No, it gets me, though. I mean, what's the point of being so clever when you haven't got hands?
I know. I mean, and it's not like, what do they do all day? Swim around and eat.
Especially like the larger ones, right? Mm. Like, how smart do you have to be to outwit that plankton? And I'm trying to figure out what made a particularly smart critter particularly smart.
Right.
And unlike with the octopus.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got the story. There's all sorts of fossils.
Bones everywhere.
Yeah, so you'd think after having a more complete story, I'd have a better notion. No.
It's funny, we were talking about intelligent critters, and whales popped in my head. Of course they're intelligent. Whales.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I really stopped to think about it, I have no idea where I got that notion. I can't point to any proof. Dolphins do spins and stuff, and seem to listen to us, but I've never actually interacted with one. Like, I don't know.
I thought of that too. I mean, how smart do you have to be to outwit plankton?
Yeah.
But there are some whales that do some particularly clever things. Humpbacks are very clever.
Okay.
They have a whole suite of different hunting techniques.
Okay.
For example, they will make bubbles.
I've heard of this.
A whole bunch of fish who apparently, if they see bubbles, they must go, whoa.
Oh, can't go that way.
And yeah, as much as 30 or 40 different individuals will swim around in a circle, making this big bubble net.
Yeah.
Lower and lower, and some of them are making the bubbles. Others are sort of herding fish in from underneath. Sometimes a couple of them will be screaming at the fish.
Hey, get over there. Boo.
Yeah. And then, you know, orca, killer whales.
Oh.
And there may be more than one species that are currently just called killer whales. But they have a huge array of different hunting techniques. Same with dolphins, porpoises.
Yeah.
There's a dolphin that uses a sponge as a tool.
Oh. Was he? Tool using. Right. That was a thing, wasn't it?
Except I don't get this. Apparently, they put it on their snout.
Okay.
So they can root around without getting their beak cut up or pinched by anything nasty.
How do they keep it on their...
Yeah, how do they put it on their snout in the first place?
It's a balancing act?
No, I don't think this is like a snail with... Snail.
Snail.
Snail. With the ball on his nose. Mm-hmm. From the description, it has to be attached rather well. Do they bite it?
Rough. I don't know.
This is like a detail. It's got me baffled.
Hmm.
But anyway, yeah, tool use somehow, magically, with sponges. You can follow their evolutionary history. It took a while to find something other than how they went from land to the water. But here's how they went from land to the water.
Okay.
It was kind of fun, actually, because I get to go back to some of our older episodes and revisit these time periods. It all started with this little animal with hooves.
Hooves?
Okay. Yes, related to the even-toed ungulates.
It's fun to say. Yeah, fun to hear. Anyways.
You know, like pigs.
Oh, okay.
That's my one example. Take that. But it had hooves, and it probably was omnivorous.
Okay.
Would eat, like, plants and animals.
Mm-hmm.
And it was living near the shoreline.
Okay.
Seemed to be wading, partially as a hunting technique.
Waiting for what?
Wait around in the water, snag what you can get.
Mm-hmm.
There's food there.
Mm-hmm.
It was drinking fresh water.
Okay.
And it wasn't very aquatic yet. Right? If it swam, it had to do it like dog paddling. What it did have are thickened leg bones.
Okay.
So basically acted as weights to keep it down on the bottom.
And keep it upright.
Yeah, it's because only the modern hippo does the same thing.
Oh.
Later, we get one that seemed to drink both fresh water and salt water.
Salt water? I thought, oh.
And you remember how crocodiles, right?
Okay.
Whole bunch of different critters have taken that niche, and they all look vaguely like crocodiles.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this was the mammal's attempt at a crocodile.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't very good at walking on land, and it wasn't a very good swimmer. Okay. It was probably an edge of water ambush predator.
Hey, okay.
Problem was, there were also crocodiles.
Much better at this niche.
Yeah, so eventually this thing got out into the open ocean.
Okay.
Drinking nothing but salt water.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big deal.
Yeah, how do you... Okay.
And, yeah, then it spread out across the entire ocean and diversified.
All because they were running away from a crocodile.
Oh, it's awful. Like, about the time when the first baleen whales show up,
mm-hmm.
you also get the megalodon.
Oh, no. We got away from those nasty crocodiles. What is that thing full of teeth?
And they were, at the time, significantly longer than the... early baleen whales were. Early baleens were like 16, 20 feet long.
Okay.
This shark got up to like 50 feet long.
Okay. So, and they're in the open ocean. Where are you going to hide?
Yeah, exactly. And about 30 million years ago, the toothed whales sort of differentiated.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones who came up with the sonar.
Okay.
So... if you got a baleen whale, like the gray whale, for example, doesn't have vocal cords at all.
Why bother?
But you're asking, you know, like, are they all loud? Well, some of them don't make much noise at all.
Huh.
But the toothed whales have this sonar trick.
Yeah.
Now, ask me where in there they got clever.
Yeah, where you need big brains when?
How smart that fish? I mean... you're going into a brand new environment.
Mm-hmm.
It would help to be curious and have enough memory to remember when that helped and when you should never, ever do that again.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, this happened before with reptiles, or reptile-like, the ichthyosaurs.
Okay.
Way back in the Jurassic.
Okay.
And early Cretaceous. They did everything the whales did.
Right, right.
There's been recent finds in Canada that show some of them might have gotten up to the size of blue whales.
Oh, good.
Around
thing.
Around 80 feet long.
Hmm.
But no filter feeders.
Right.
And they didn't have sonar. They had the largest vertebrate eyes.
Okay.
And their brains didn't get especially large. They had a... like I said, they had the largest eyes. It seemed to be an adaptation to be able to hunt at depth.
Mm-hmm.
They also had enlarged areas of the brain for using their eyes. And larger than before cerebellum.
Okay.
And larger smell areas, which I don't get. How do lizards smell?
I don't know. I don't understand the smell underwater thing at all.
Yeah, me either. When I think of smell, I think of like a sniff, sniff,
mm-hmm.
right? Integrated with my breathing. But don't snakes smell with their tongue?
I've heard that. Yeah, they like flap it in the breeze and then suck it in. And yeah, I don't understand that either.
The ichthyosaurs did something like that. I could see why they'd continue to smell if it didn't involve, you know, sucking seawater down their nose. But yeah, here's an animal that took about the same evolutionary journey, and they're startlingly similar body types, including dorsal fins, front limbs that turned into, you know, they look like a fish.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And I was thinking maybe it's a warm-blooded, cold-blooded thing. Maybe mammals, since we have this default amount of energy on, end up exploring more. Just because we're awake and we got to do something.
Yeah, you get bored.
Yeah, sing for half an hour.
Okay.
But they found blubber on ichthyosaurs, which is strongly suggestive that they were, in fact, able to make their own body heat. Because that's the thing blubber is for.
To maintain internal body heat.
Yeah, and if you're a critter that needs outside heat to get warm, blubber's a bad idea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it will keep your heat in. It will keep the heat out. Insulator.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's not the warm, cold-blooded thing. The only possible difference, I have to make a huge assumption here, is that maybe the mammal started out warm-blooded and extra energetic.
Okay.
Whereas the ichthyosaur didn't get warm-blooded until it took to the oceans. And so the mammal started off with its metabolism pegged at that higher level.
So they were... Okay, yeah.
Well, that's the only thing I can guess. And I have no idea how to turn that into a software experiment.
Let me take two things that are almost the same and see which one gets smart.
This one is just going to be much hotter. You know, the more often I say it, the dumber it sounds, which is how I feel about this entire episode. So we're going to come back next time and talk about some of the other marine mammals, because I swear to God, a mammal takes to the ocean and it gets kind of clever, like seals and sea otters. Especially. But we'll talk about all of that next time. See you then.
Bye.